cannot claim that I felt a strong passion for anything as I spent my days on the banks of Galilee. I was just fishing my way through life. Today's catch supplied today's wages, and I had little thought for tomorrow. I assumed that I would live and die on that fishing boat. "Follow me from the shore," Jesus called out. "Follow me." And a passion stirred in my heart that changed who I was and what I would become. I followed him for 3 years. With my own eyes, I saw him do and say many wondrous things. But even though you have not seen him, all who love him and believe in him may also be filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, a holy passion. Jesus says, "Come, follow me," although we don't know where he will lead us. I am persuaded that he who calls us by his glory and goodness will give us everything we need for this life. The knowledge and passion that leads us to follow him will bring us abundant grace and peace. My commitment to follow would be tasked when we were once again on a lake.
After Jesus had fed thousands of people with a few loaves and a couple of fish, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead of him across the lake. He intended to dismiss the crowds and then catch up with his disciples. After he had dismissed the crowd, he took time to go up the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was still there all alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the shore, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, Jesus came walking toward the disciples on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them and said, "It is I. Take heart. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, Peter became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Yes, from our boat, we saw Jesus walking on the water. My passion sent me out to join him in this miraculous walk. But the experience tested my faith and taught me a lesson that I will never forget.
Sinking down, but the wind, the waves, the water, the water.
we go wherever faith will take us, we live through stormy and turbulent times. Through it all, we must humble ourselves under His mighty hand, that He may lift us up in times of trouble. Cast all your cares on Him, because surely He cares for you. And though we may suffer and stumble in our faith, the God of all grace will restore us and make us strong, firm, and steadfast. More than anything, I wanted to be strong and bold in my faith. One day Jesus asked me, "Who do you say that I am?" Without thinking, I blurted out, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He had never claimed to be the Son of God, but those words were planted in the depth of my soul, and I knew they were true. He looked at me and he said, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." All at once I knew there was no turning back. This was no longer just an adventure, a break from my life as a fisherman. My life's work would be to follow the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let your love for Christ be the cause of all you do as believers and as a church. You are like living stones being built into a spiritual house. Live as a chosen people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of the darkness and into His wonderful light. Sometimes the road will lead us from light into darkness. As I followed him into Jerusalem, a crowd welcomed Jesus with shouts of praise. but there were evil forces at work. Though I could feel the danger, I was undaunted. Even in the night of his arrest, I was ready for whatever would come. As we shared our last meal together, I told him that I would never leave him or forsake him. To this, Jesus made a very disturbing response. He told me that I would deny him 3 times before the morning cock would crow. I had left everything to follow him. I had committed my life to him. How could he have so little confidence in my loyalty? Jesus knew that I would soon be tested beyond anything I could imagine. In the face of mortal danger, he took us out to pray at Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives. "Stay awake and pray with me," he told us. But even as the Lord prayed with great anguish, we grew tired in our praying and fell fast asleep.
Here at Gethsemane, come friends and pray with me. The evening stars will give us light. Stay alert, keep watch. You don't know what is waiting for us on the other side of the moonless night. Father, you could do all things. Please take this cup from me, but whatever may come, your will be done. I'm distressed, I am grieved. Father, take this cup from me, but whatever may come, your will be done. Simon Peter, are you asleep? The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Spare you a prayer this time of trial. Wake up, Peter, why do you sleep? Could you not pray 1 hour with me? Soon we will walk the final mile. Keep alert, you don't know when trials come and trials ascend. Keep alert, rise and stand. Look, the betrayer is at hand. He is at hand. God's will be done. God's will be done. Stay awake, pray with me. Stay awake, pray with me.
So today, I say to you, my friends, stay awake. Rise from your spiritual slumber. God's work is at hand. Stay awake and pray that you will stand strong and faithful to the Lord. This world will test you physically, financially, spiritually. Pray that God will make you strong and steadfast through whatever trials may befall you. My most severe test would come that night when they arrested Jesus. I followed close behind until I stood outside the chief priest's house where Jesus was being held. Soon the people began to recognize that I was a follower of Jesus, and I felt my fear and panic begin to grow. He called me the rock, but soon the courage and confidence of this great rock would melt away as my loyalty was severely tested. On a cold, dark night, I stood by the fire near the place they had taken my Lord. I saw him there with shackled hands, wondering what was in store. Then the people all around started looking my way. They were closing in on me. And I said anything that I could say, just so that I could go free. I would never leave him. How could I have failed him so completely? While I ran away and cried bitterly from my guilt and shame, my Lord stood alone before his accusers. No, I wasn't there. I cowered in my hiding place while my Lord was out there being tried before Pilate, the Roman governor. When Pilate asked the crowds, "What do you want me to do with this king of the Jews?" they shouted back, "Crucify him!" And so Pilate took Jesus, had him flogged, and handed him over to be crucified. Regret that I was not there. While I waited in safety, my Lord was taken and clothed with a purple cloak, and they placed a crown of thorns on his head, and they struck his head, and they spat upon him, and they stripped off his clothes, and they led him off to be crucified. And John stood by his mother and Mary Magdalene. From a distance, they watched the Lord die. He was nailed to a cross and crucified. The soldiers divided up his clothes, and people from all around came to mock him and taunt him with all manner of abuse. At noon, the sky became as dark as the night. How lonely and abandoned he must have felt as he cried out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" He gave a loud cry and breathed his last. Jesus had told us that there is no greater love than when one dies for a friend. How weak was my love that I would not be there with him in his final hour. Down from the cross, and they laid it in a tomb that had been carved out of rock. Then they rolled a stone across the entrance to the tomb. He called me his rock. In his darkest hour, I wasn't there. I felt that I had failed him in every way.
We were not there either, but we can easily imagine the gut-wrenching shock, the stunned numbness that we would feel in the face of such a horrible and such an unexpected death. We can imagine the terrible sense of loss because we have felt it at times in our own lives. We can imagine the overwhelming sense that there must have been something that we could have or should have done to stop it. For the disciples, it must have seemed as though one moment they were being carried along by the exultation of a joyful crowd as Jesus approached Jerusalem, and the next moment they were suddenly bereft of all their hopes and dreams and grief-stricken at the loss of the one they held so dear. For those who had been loved and healed and taught and fed by Jesus, we can imagine what it must have been like as we now sing together, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross."
Thank you.
Dear God, the magnitude of Christ's death on a cross leaves us speechless. And so we turn to the promise of Romans chapter 8, that when we cannot find the words to pray for ourselves, the Holy Spirit prays for us and through us with sighs too deep for words. We know that certain profoundly self-serving forces in the world will try to crush anybody or anything that stands in the way of their desire to exploit and control. Yet this theoretical knowledge does not protect us from or prepare us for the hard reality of actually witnessing the consequences of out-of-control greed and hunger for power. The actual reality is so bad that we might be tempted to despair. And yet, O God, we are not prepared to give up. We remember the promises, and we remember the evidence of your steadfast love and faithfulness in times past. And so we hold on to hope. We will wait, and we will call out to you for solace. We trust you to comfort us, and we trust you to act in new ways for our good. We understand, O God, that it is your desire to save the world, not to abandon or condemn it. And so we keep on praying the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.